This week on the Happy Half Hour.
He was very stern, you know, with sending him early to the locker room, and he was very pointed and direct, and there wasn't a ton of back and forth between those two. And I think that kind of exemplifies, you know, the side of his leadership where we say, you know, oh, he's a firm guy, he's a tough guy, and he kind of showed it, and then we saw what happened as a result.
Touchdown, Carolina!
It's time for the Happy Half Hour with your friends, Kristen Balboni, Augusta Stone, and Darren Gant.
That's right. It's that time of the week. It's the Happy Half Hour podcast with your friends, Darren, Augusta, and Kristen. Happy Thursday morning, everybody. How are we feeling?
Cold.
It's a little chilly.
It's colder now. Yeah. Like, it's so funny. Every year I was telling Darren, it's like, you'd think I grew up in Florida because if it gets below 50, I'm freezing. I grew up in, I always say the North Georgia mountains. I was really in the valley, but it still gets pretty cold there. So I can't handle the cold. I'm a big baby.
I do love it. I love a little coziness.
I do like a little fall, although Miss Jerry at the front desk has been teasing me the last couple of weeks. She saw me come in long pants the other day, and she's like, I don't think I've ever seen you in long pants, because I try to wear shorts as long as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And she said something this morning, and she was like, it's pretty much long pants from here on out, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it's kind of looking that way.
I think it's going up into the 70s next
All
week.
Right.
But, yep, I've turned my weather talk on. I'm such a parent now.
The heat
like we could
is
just talk
on.
For the whole half hour about the weather in North Carolina.
Oh, God, Kristen's turning into the insurance commercial.
I sure am. I sure am, proudly. Absolutely. I love to talk about the weather. But we have plenty of other things to talk about on this episode. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about what we have learned from Steve Wilks. Let's call it week and a half tenure as interim head coach. Obviously, the game against the Rams did not go the way that the team wanted it to go or fans wanted it to go. Just a lot of injuries, a lot of adversity in that game. But we've seen some good things and some bad things. So let's talk about it all. So, Darren, let's start with you. What have we learned since Steve Wilks has taken over the helm?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, Steve Wilks has not inherited an enviable position with everything that's going on at the quarterback position, the guys being hurt. But I do think that Steve's got a tone about him that when things may seem chaotic, he's got such a steady hand on the wheel that you feel all right about it. I mean, he is not a guy who projects panic or anything like that. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, Steve is kind of an old defensive coordinator. He wants to simplify things. He wants to strip it down. You saw that in the game plan last week. I mean, he said, we want to run the ball. And early on in that game, they ran the ball well and controlled it. It was like 11 minutes of the first quarter. They had possession, and things were looking pretty good. You get a defensive score from Dante. But just as with a lot of things, with the quarterback situation they've had this year, wasn't necessarily sustainable. But I do kind of, I guess, appreciate the fact that Steve's got a steadiness about him. You know, he knows this isn't an ideal situation. There's no interim head coach who's ever walked into an ideal situation. But he's got kind of the personality to handle it and try to lead guys through it. I mean, it's really the only thing you can do when you find yourself in this moment.
Well, I'll go with the thing that I have learned about Steve Wilks because it relates a little bit to yours, Darren, that of, you know, he has such a history with the Panthers, but the person on the Panthers who may have known him the longest is long snapper J.J. Jansen.
Of course.
Yes. he told me that they have known each other since 2004, so almost 20 years, when JJ was a freshman at Notre Dame and he was coaching DBs. And he said, I've known him since I was a scrawny little freshman at Notre Dame. And then he said, well, maybe not scrawny, which I thought was great. But to your point, Darren, I spoke with JJ last week on Wednesday, so right after the transition. And he said, I think knowing Steve Wilks for as long as I have, that he has the temperament to step into this situation. Yeah. Because of the way that he can just block everything out and focus, the way he's a great communicator, clear, concise, and ready for the challenge. And it just really struck me what you just said, Darren. I think we're all seeing that as well, the thing that JJ told me to look out for. So that's something that
that I've learned. He goes way back with J.J. Janssen. Augusta, what about you?
Exactly. Well, it's like you said, when you said communication style, I felt like you were almost reading my mind, because that's what I was going to say. I was going to say he's a very stern communicator. I've noticed this not only like on the practice field and obviously when he's talking to the team, but also when he's talking to the media, which as a reporter, I find that refreshing when you have someone who speaks in indefinites or, you know, answers things very, very clearly. You know, you ask him a question, he'll look you dead in the eye and he'll answer. And I just I find that very respectable. And from my position, it's easier to work with a coach like that. But I also just think we saw his sort of stern, pointed style in a situation that was not ideal along the sidelines against the Rams, when we saw Robbie Anderson and his position coach Joe Daly kind of get into a small little spat a couple of times. And I saw the video replays of it, but he was very stern, you know, with sending him early to the locker room, and he was very pointed and direct, and there wasn't a ton of back and forth between those two. And I think that kind of exemplifies, you know, the side of his leadership where we say, you know, oh, he's a firm guy, he's a tough guy, and he kind of showed it, and then we saw what happened as a result. And now Robbie is in Arizona. So.
Yeah, that's a great segue. Let's talk about that, Darren.
Yeah, it was kind of a mess, and it was pointing that direction, honestly. I think it's fair to say Robbie wasn't thrilled with the way things were going. Again, the offense in general isn't clicking right now. When you're 32nd in the league, that's fair to say. And the passing game in particular. And so Robbie is a guy, every wide receiver wants targets. Every one of them wants to be involved. Every one of them wants to be the guy making plays downfield. Nobody's making plays downfield right now. So Robbie wasn't necessarily happy. You know, there was some talk about his relationship with Matt Rhule being a component of it, but I don't know that that's necessarily it. I mean, Robbie just wants to be, you know, involved and, you know, featured more in a passing game that's got success. And, you know, we'll see how it works out for him out in Arizona. They obviously needed the help with Hollywood Brown getting hurt. Interesting side note, Hollywood Brown had to go see Dr. Robert Anderson in Green Bay about his foot and ankle, and now he's replaced in the lineup by Dr. Robert Anderson, who is on his way.
That's great.
who's been practicing with the Cardinals for a couple days now. We'll see if he's out there on the field tonight. I don't know how quickly Robbie will pick up, but, you know, it just became an untenable situation, because when somebody doesn't want to be here and kind of makes it obvious that he doesn't want to be around with the way he behaved on the sidelines. I mean, we've seen Robbie get into it on the sidelines before. It was with Joe Brady in the past. He's gotten in those situations previously.
Sam Darnold.
And it just got ugly. And when it gets ugly and they're in the situation you get in, you get guys gone. And Scott Fitterer got on the phone Monday morning and was able to get two things for one Robbie. So a six-round pick in 24 and a seven in 25 is not a lot, but considering the situation and considering what it looked like, getting a couple of things, you know, some extra draft inventory for the future is not the worst thing, because I don't know how much good Robbie was doing them in the short term anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And now you spend the rest of the season looking at Terrace Marshall, Shai Smith, see what they've got to offer at that position.
LaVisca Chenault when he's healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. So you got to kind of adjust on the fly when things like that happen, but it's that time of year.
It feels like it worked out well for everyone involved, Robbie included, as you said.
Right.
We'll see how it goes. So certainly we wish him all the best. But
sure.
You know, as we sit here Thursday morning, that is the only trade that has happened. But the trade deadline is looming. So
yep.
What are you two hearing about what the Panthers may or may not do?
Well, the one thing I don't think they're doing is trying to trade everybody on the roster. I mean, Scott,
I've heard the same thing.
Yeah, Scott always says you listen to everything. And people are calling about Christian McCaffrey. You know why? Because Christian McCaffrey is really good at football. And other people would enjoy having a Christian McCaffrey. It's just a matter of what to say. They're not going to give him away. I don't think you're going to see a situation where, you know, they're not going to trade Christian for a fourth-round pick or something. They're not just throwing a guy away. If somebody calls and offers, I think you're obliged to listen. I think you have to listen to every offer and see, because, you know, realistically, the Carolina Panthers are going to be going into an offseason where they want to find stability at quarterback, and a lot of people think that means drafting one. And if you're trying to draft quarterback, you know, I don't think it's the pick you're going to get in exchange, but any picks you add helps you in the process. So if you need to move up and get a particular guy that you like, or you need to package picks and trade for a Matt Stafford. I mean, you never know when. We didn't know at the time Matt Stafford was going to be available when he became available. So I think you just kind of got to look at it as inventory if you make a deal for that or whatever picks it happens to be. And I don't think they're absolutely intent on trading him. I mean, I think if they don't get an appropriate offer, they don't get what feels like value, why would you just give the guy away? You wouldn't. So because he has high value to your team right now with the way he's been playing. And that's the thing that's important to remember. After not seeing a lot of Christian for the last 2 years, the Christian we're seeing right now, it's like, wow, this guy's getting it done again. And I think that's what's got a lot of people interested. But I don't think, you know, they're not trying to trade off Brian Burns. Or it's not like they're just trying to accumulate future draft picks for the next full-time head coach that they're going to hire in 2023. So it's not a fire sale. It's not give everybody away. It's not clear the decks or anything of the sort. And they're not going to take pennies on the dollar for guys. I mean, there are assets here. And I think that's worth remembering at a time when everybody's talking about what's going wrong, what's, you know, who could be on the way out, those kind of things. I mean, this is still a team that going into 23 still has Brian Burns, still has Derek Brown, still has J.C. Horn, still has Jeremy Chinn
as kind of the
guts of a defense, along with Dante, D.J. Moore on the other side. The starting five on the offensive line that's played every snap so far this year and has some good depth in Bradley Bozeman and Cam Irving and Michael Jordan, you know, that stuff's in place. And so I think there is things that, you know, they're going to want to build on. And so you look at and you listen, and I don't think it's a fire sale by any stretch of the imagination, but you never know what could happen.
I've heard the same thing. You know, there are a lot of, as you named just a few of the really talented players on this team, and they've been developed and are playing well at a lot of different positions. And I've heard the same, that's not something that's on the radar, right? Trying to keep those pieces in place is important. So we'll certainly see what happens. We never know, of course. That's why we love and sometimes hate football, right? You never know what's going to happen, but I always appreciate.
We're in the football business, but also the news business.
Yes,
we all know that our lives can change with one phone call.
We sure do. We sure do. But Darren, you talked about stability at quarterback. So let's talk about quarterback as it stands right now, Augusta. We have heard Steve Wilks say that it will be. Why are you guys laughing, huh? I'm just kidding.
There's
a lot going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, if you think about it, there is a sense of stability because Steve Wilks told us to be prepared for the same starter and the same backup. That backup is Jacob Eason.
That is one way to look at
it. Completed five
Augusta.
Passes.
But yeah, it is a sense of stability.
It is continuity.
Yep.
Week by week. Oh my goodness. No. I got to speak with Jacob Eason on Monday, and I really enjoy talking to him because he has such an honest outlook about things, but at the same time, like, I genuinely asked him. I said, okay, look, like, you come off the practice squad. You've been here since August 31st. So I was right in late August, and I was like, it's about as late in August as you can get. You get here from Seattle on a red eye, learn everything really quickly, and then lo and behold, P.J. Walker ends up, you know, hurting his neck. He's fine, and he'll play this week, and he practiced yesterday. But all that to say, you know, I was like, the circumstances, like, they're wild. He goes, oh, they're wild. Like, he gave it right back. He was like, it is absolutely wild having to learn on the fly, but that's kind of, I think I talked about it last week, but the mindset of the backup, and it's so interesting. You know, I wrote about it yesterday. I sort of went down the list of, like, okay, so PJ Walker, he hurt his neck, but he's fine, and he took all the first team reps, and then Jacob Eason, he'll be behind him. Baker Mayfield still isn't clear, but he's still running around, and he's still, you can tell he wants to get out there so badly. And then Sam Darnold returned yesterday, and the response on Twitter that I saw whenever I tweeted a photo of him was very excited, which was cool.
And just to clarify, as I know we know this because we're reading all the articles, he's designated to return from IR. So he returned to the practice field, but we are not anticipating him being ready to go.
Right.
And just to make sure that our listeners aren't showing the same excitement as Twitter, right?
It's
still some time. Still some time there.
Guy hadn't played football in 7 weeks. So I think it's reasonable to let him practice for a couple days before he gets right back into it. And he'll need a little time, but It's also a different Sam Darnold, as pointed out by Christian McCaffrey. He's got a sweet beard.
I was going to say, are you referencing the beard?
I love
the beard. Looks good.
It's Sam's one of those guys. I can't grow a decent beard. Sam has. And Christian said yesterday he's got big leprechaun energy. And so Sam was like, wait a minute, I'm taking this from Christian McCaffrey. It was kind of funny watching those two go back and forth. But yeah, the bearded Sam Darnold could be back and could be a factor, honestly, because we don't know right now how long Baker might be out, if Baker's coming back. And I asked Steve Wilks last week, I said, when Baker comes back and he's healthy, is he absolutely the starter? And Steve said something other than, yes, absolutely. I mean, he talked about those guys are going to compete for it again. So there was a competition once upon a time, and then Baker came back and hadn't played great before he got hurt. So all things are kind of on the table right now. So the idea that we might see Sam Darnold at some point this year, we might see P.J. Walker some more, we might see Baker Mayfield again, you know, right now as we sit here on Thursday morning at 10:30 in the morning, it's kind of hard to tell what's coming next.
Well, whoever we see over these next few weeks is very lucky in the fact that this offensive line has been playing together and they have been playing well, as our very own Panthers stats guy, Will Bryan, is going to tell us in his dun-dun-dun-dun, Will's stat of the week.
All right, so as promised, live from our undisclosed location inside Bank of America Stadium, here's Panthers stats guy with this week's stat of the week.
So Ikem Ekwonu.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's been playing pretty well, right, Darren? Last 2 weeks, he has a 75.8 pass blocking grade, according to PFF. That's the highest among rookie tackles in the NFL over that span. And it's not just him. The entire offensive line has really been playing quite well. Their pass blocking grade over the course of the season so far ranks 7th in the NFL. So what once was a weakness really has become a strength.
Really is strange days that we're talking this way about a Panthers offensive line. I can always count on you on putting it in perspective. Thanks, man.
We need theme music for that. I think when Will comes in, he needs to have his own theme song.
I think you should sing him a theme
Maybe
song,
Maybe a jingle.
Darren.
We'll come out. I'll see if I can write something for next week. Maybe hum a few bars.
I would love that. But it's a great point, right? This offensive line has become very stable.
Right.
And is doing a good job.
And again, it just blows my mind that we're having these conversations because watching last year, 14 lineups in 17 weeks and literally guys walking in off the street, you know, they claim Michael Jordan off waivers from the Bengals at initial cuts coming out of training camp and he ends up starting 10 games.
Yeah.
So you know, last year was just a grab bag. Every week it was a different group. And now for the same five guys to start and play every snap of the first six games. Now, Pat Elflein's on the injury report this week, hadn't practiced. So, you know, if Pat's not able to go, having a Bradley Bozeman who started 48 games the last 3 years for the Baltimore Ravens is a pretty good place to be. And, again, after last year, I know it just clouded my judgment. But between Bozeman, Jordan, Cam Irving, who, here's a tease for you, coming up this week on Panthers.com, I'm working on a story about Icky and his development and the role Cam Irving plays in it. And I think it's going to be a pretty cool little story. So be on the lookout for that on Panthers.com later this week.
I'm so excited to read that because that's something I noticed from game one on the sidelines, you know, doing radio sideline is – just, Darren, I don't want to steal your phrase. It's the perfect phrase of Cam Irving being the icky whisperer. You know, he's really taken that role as he's not playing much to guide and develop and support Ikem Ekwonu. And it's incredible. So I can't wait to read that.
And this Ekwonu kid, pretty good at football.
I think he's going to be pretty good.
I think he's going to be okay.
Let's talk about injuries overall, though. You mentioned Pat Elflein being on the injury report. And, you know, aside from the quarterback issues and injuries in the last game against the Rams, which we've already addressed, that defense, especially that secondary, was pretty thin in that last game. And they were already missing some key pieces, you know, your Frankie Louvus, your J.C. Horn. So, Augusta, Darren, what are you two hearing about who may or may not be healthy, who may or may not play the state of the defense.
Yesterday, Steve Wilks had a ton of optimism, especially around the cornerbacks. So Dante, he said that Dante Jackson told him that he'd be able to play with that ankle, and he wasn't dressed out in practice yesterday. But I'm not reading into that too much. And then J.C. Horn was back, which was really good news. He was in the green limited at some capacity jersey. Frankie Louvu, same deal, though. He's been taking the green jersey on and off even when he was playing. So there's some general optimism, I think, around that, which is so good because, I mean, I wrote about it after the game in Los Angeles. I mean, Tay Hayes was out there, and he had just been called up from the practice squad. So mm-hmm.
Hayes and Jacob Eason.
Yeah.
Two practice squad guys that had important roles in that game.
Yeah. So I think there's a general sense of optimism. Yesterday, it was good because yesterday was like the pads day since they moved it from Thursday to Wednesday. So you kind of get to see like who's going to go out there. I saw J.C. Horn, you know, getting good work in after last week. I think he spent the entire week, you know, in sweats and not dressed out. So that's definitely positive. And then he missed the trip because it's a rib and all of that. But yeah, I actually pulled up the injury list like before we started because it's gotten so long and I'm going to start forgetting them. And then CJ Henderson, concussion mm-hmm. protocol. He wasn't even out there yesterday. I saw him in the locker room though, so he's around.
But which is standard with concussion protocol. Yeah.
Sure.
So yeah.
But yeah, they were running out of dudes last Sunday. I mean, they had Tay Hayes and Aaron Mosby out there playing defensive snaps on the end. And that's not an ideal situation because you were running out of DBs. When Dante gets hurt and doesn't finish, JC's inactive. CJ
is in concussion protocol.
And all of a sudden you look up and Keith Taylor and Tay Hayes are the only two corners you've got left. So, you know, thank goodness for guys like Miles Hartsfield who can do a lot of different things because they kind of need guys who can do a lot of different things in the situation they were in. But it was good, and I talked JC a little bit in the locker room, and he feels pretty good about being able to play this week. He just JC's one of those guys, he's always going to want to play, and mm-hmm. he's always going to want to push it. So you hope he gets healed up and doesn't set himself back or anything like that. But it was definitely a positive sign to see him out there on the practice field yesterday because – he's a guy they're going to need because, let's be honest, right now playing against a team like the Bucs, they did not look great last week against the Steelers. But, oh, by the way, Tom Brady, also pretty good at football. So it's going to be a little bit of an all-hands-on-deck. You're going to need Frankie Louvu out there trying to move the old man off his spot. You're going to need J.C. Horn in the back covering because those Bucs receivers have made some plays in the past. So they are definitely going to need those guys this weekend.
Well, we'll see what happens, right? Bucks come into town on Sunday, and we'll see how it all goes, guys.
Arg! Should we make pirate jokes?
You can. Give
there's
us one.
I was looking back at the film of the Rams game, especially the second half, and it was rated R.
That was pretty good on the spot, Darren. Yeah. I laughed. Is that going back to me, though, becoming a parent, laughing at those things and talking about the weather?
That might be. I know my go-to guy in our staff meetings is Alex Grant, because I know no matter how terrible a joke I tell, my guy Alex is going to laugh at it.
He does the same thing with me, too. He's great for, like, a nice sympathy laugh. Like, oh, I see your effort on this joke.
He's such a good teammate, because some of those jokes, Bill just looked at him the other day and was like, don't encourage him. He'll tell more jokes.
We should always encourage Darren, especially when it comes to pirate jokes. Thank you both so much. Happy, happy half hour, and we'll see you next week.
Wow.